As the creator of the Kathy comic strip, Kathy Geiswhite found her way into the hearts of readers over 40 years ago and has been there ever since. Her comic began in 1976 and ran in over 1,400 newspapers during its peak before she retired it in 2010. Now her deeply funny and relatable look at the challenges of womanhood in a changing world that became a cultural touchstone for women everywhere and now make their way into a debut essay collection. Geiswhite returns with her signature self-deprecating wit and warmth, this time taking a look at her own life with 50 Things That Aren't My Fault, essays from the grown-up years. Kathy Geiswhite's Kathy comic strip earned her the National Cartoonist Society Reuben Award in 1992, an Emmy Award for Outstanding Animated Program for the TV special Kathy. During that time, Geiswhite appeared on The Tonight Show 15 times, charming Johnny Carson, like in this clip from 1992.
My next guest comic strip, Kathy, is syndicated in over 1,000 newspapers, and she is a very perceptive observer of the male-female relationships in our life. Would you welcome Kathy Geiswhite?
As opposed to Johnny here, who I saw the men all getting ready backstage, and, you know, they sit down, poof, while I'm sitting there in my 45 minutes, they sit down, poof, one poof of powder, and you're done. You're out of there.
Yeah.
And, you know, my point is, this is not just happening backstage at The Tonight Show. This scene is replayed in every bathroom across America every single morning, where men wind up with this vast resource of time. You know, a woman, if it takes me 20 minutes to dry my hair, and it takes the man 2 minutes, well, he's already 18 minutes ahead for the day. Mm. And if it takes me 15 minutes to do the makeup, and it takes the man 0 minutes,
yeah,
now he's 33 minutes ahead. You know, 7:30 in the morning, he's already got 33 minutes on me. And so you start multiplying this out day by day, week by week, month by month. I figure by the end of the year, a man has 2.5 months of free time that the woman has not had.
Do I sense here a slight undercurrent of resentment or jealousy?
Hostility?
About that?
Well, I think most women would just want to know from you, the, you know, the perfect man, why it is that, why it is that if a man has this excess of time in a year that he cannot find 3 minutes, you know, to tell us how wonderful we are.
All right, no, all right, I've got a question.
Kathy Geiswhite is the author of the new book, 50 Things That Aren't My Fault, Essays from the Grown-Up Years, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Kathy Geiswhite to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. We need our senses of humor now more than ever, though.
Absolutely. Well, it was wonderful to hear that clip of you on Carson. I remember seeing those appearances, and they were real events. Do you know why or how you hit it off with Johnny?
One of my animated specials won an Emmy, and I did a funny acceptance speech, apparently, and Johnny was watching, and he said, oh, we should have her on The Tonight Show. That's how I got my invitation to go. But our conversation was about men and women's relationships, and he loved that subject. He had such a great sense of humor about his own failures in that area. And so, yeah, that's why he had me back. But, man, was it. That was a terrifying experience.
Oh my God, I can only imagine. But to find yourself being a comic strip artist and on The Tonight Show and a regular on The Tonight Show, I mean, doing that show quite a few times, I would assume that's just good for the gig, isn't it? I mean, it brings you to a whole new audience.
Well, the blessing of my life, honestly, has been that I have gotten to connect anonymously, you know, with so many women, especially women and their mothers, for so many years through the comic strip. And yeah, getting to be on TV, as terrifying as it was just another way to connect with people. And that's, you know, that's the blessing of my life that I've gotten to do that.
So I think it's fair to say, having read the book, that just what we just heard, you talking about what you do with that time and how you find that time, and with that time, why can't men be nicer to women, that could be an essay in this book. I mean, this is sort of what you're writing about, and it's a beautiful, very poignant, but also comic take on many different issues.
What I loved was the during the comic strip, you know, I had to kind of had a joke at the end, and it was hard to squash everything I wanted to say into the four boxes. But doing essay forms for 50 Things That Aren't My Fault was so liberating. It was like coming home and taking off the Spanx. You know, I could write at length, but I could also write more thoughtfully, you know, about experiences. One of the essays is called I Would Wash My Hands of This If Only I Could. And it's about my experience of being in a public restroom, and as powerful as I should be feeling at this time of life, the automatic sensors in the sink do not sense me as a human life form. I never can get any water out or soap out or towel out. And I watch all the other people, I watch them work for everybody else, and they don't work for me. If that were a comic strip, it would be just that. In the essay form, I could talk about how life is filled with hundreds of those little experiences in the day where it seems like everything works differently for other people than it works for me, and how those chip away at our sense of confidence and competence and leave us holding hands with the box of frozen Girl Scout cookies, you know, at 10 p.m., feeling like we're the only ones. So it was liberating.
I'll note that the title essay we have a clip of you reading that, and we'll actually hear that essay at the end of our conversation, which is just terrific because the book is also on audio. The essays themselves, the idea to write it, is it nice to, after you retired the strip, is it nice 9 years later, and for this time that you've been working on this project, to work without that daily deadline?
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah, the comic strip where Charles Schulz used to say it was like running in front of a train, and it was. No, having more time to write was beautiful. And having more time to think about things, like in one of the essays in 50 Things That Aren't My Fault is called Unexpired Love. This is an essay about me standing in my mom's kitchen and her lovingly preparing the meal that I believe will kill me because she's making it out of all expired ingredients. In my mom's mind, eggs never go bad. You know, mayonnaise never goes bad. The expiration dates are a big scam. But I had the time to think about it in writing essay form, so I could write about how I could write in this essay more about the generations, how mom's this kitchen where mom, I believe, is poisoning me, this became her helm, even though with all her education and her own dreams for what she could do, women of her generation didn't have the opportunity often to pursue their own career dreams. So the kitchen became their office, and the kitchen became their helm. And the kitchen became where she lovingly, you know, blended the egos of our family into this wonderful family out of which my sisters and I could go off and kind of do all the things that mom couldn't do. So the essay form gave me a chance to turn jokes into something a little more meaningful.
If there is a theme to the book, it is that you are part of what is generally referred to as the sandwich generation. You refer to it as the panini generation. How does that, do you think, permeate the essays that you write in the book?
Excuse me. I call it the panini generation because I am squashed between trying to care for aging parents on one side and trying to guide an aging daughter on the other side and find my own aging body, which I no longer recognize, squashed in the middle, and realizing that I'm out of time to do all the things that I wanted to do. And also, panini is like a warm thing. You know, it's a warm sandwich. So it's not a horrible thing. It's a squashed warm sandwich. And all the essays, this time of life kind of implies a certain period of reflection. You know, while I'm running out of time to do everything, I'm thinking back, what did I do? You know, what didn't I do? Who did we love? Who didn't we love? Who should we have loved? What my generation thought we were changing for my daughter's generation, and what didn't get changed at all, or what changed in new and very complicated ways. Like in an essay called The Build-A-Boo Workshop, I talk about how my generation of women who, you know, had little, our mom sewed little hooks in all of our clothes so our bra straps wouldn't show, versus taking our teenage daughters into Victoria's Secret and watching them buy, you know, the fluorescent pink magenta push-up power bras with the matching thongs, underwear that's meant to be shown on the outside. And what, so my generation kind of liberated women to feel more free about their bodies. And yet it seems like it's a scarier and much more time, much more vulnerable time for our daughters. So I write about that.
Why do you think it is, in the minute we have left, why do you think it is a scarier time? I mean, where, I guess let's end with this of where you, where your optimism lies when it comes to women forging their way.
Women have always been a great support system for each other. We need a sense of humor about little things so we have the energy and strength to take on the big things. We need to know that we're not alone. We women certainly know we're all in it together, but you know, at the end of the day, we all face the magnifying makeup mirror alone. And it's easy, it's tempting to only zoom in on the insecurities and the doubts and the comparisons to feel like everybody else is handling the pressures and complications of this time differently. So I hope that my book feels like a best friend to women in the same way that my comic strip did. I hope that my daughter's generation, who's growing up at a much different time, I hope it gives them some perspective and also helps guide them in how to kind of have a sense of humor about what they feel they're not handling so they can, go forward with hope. That's a beautiful way to put it. That's just what I hope my book will do.
Well, it is a beautiful way to put it. Kathy Geiswhite is our guest this morning. She has a new essay collection. It's 50 Things That Aren't My Fault, Essays from the Grown-Up Years. Kathy, what a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much. I've been a great admirer of your work for
a long time,
and it's a real pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Thank you very much. Again, Kathy Geiswhite's new essay collection is 50 Things That Aren't My Fault, Essays from the Grown-Up Years. We end this morning with hearing Kathy's title essay from the new book.
Am I allowed to eat a noodle? I stare at the menu on the wall behind the takeout counter and try to remember. It used to be so simple. Noodles were good because they were comfort food. Then noodles were bad because they were fattening. Then noodles were good because they were pasta. Then noodles were bad because they were carbohydrates. Then noodles were good because they were fiber. Then noodles were bad because they were gluten. Then noodles were good because they were pho. Then noodles were bad because they were high glycemic. Then noodles were good because they were comfort food. Then what? I have 6 months of unread healthy lifestyle magazines on my kitchen counter, which puts me 6 months behind on where the noodle stands, paralyzed at the takeout window. I turn to the line of impatient people behind me and blurt out the one and only thing I'm completely sure of at this moment in my grown-up life. It's not my fault. Decades of fighting for emancipation from all sorts of things, and this is possibly the most liberating moment of all. I repeat it with more volume, in case the irritated people toward the back of the line didn't hear. Also, honestly, I just want to feel the words come out of my mouth again. It's not my fault. The man behind me sighs, loud and exasperated. I turn and look him in the eye, right in his scowling, unadorned male eye. Not one moment of his morning was spent on eyeliner like mine was, I note. No eyeshadow, no mascara, no fine line filler, no under eye concealer. I look further. No eyebrow shaping, no eyebrow tinting, no pore minimizer, no foundation. No bronzer, no blush, no Botox, no blow dry, no straightener, no curling iron, no root dye, no wispy layers, no highlights, no ear jewelry chosen to match his outfit. I stop at his neck. No need to move on to his outfit. In 4 seconds, I've already calculated that if I add up the hours, days, weeks, and years of his life, starting from when he didn't play dress-up at age 3 like I did, until this moment in this line at this takeout counter, he's had approximately 18,000 extra hours of time on Earth to do all sorts of things that I haven't. All of that is also not my fault. It's not my fault, I proclaim even louder, right at his non-lip-lined, non-lipsticked, non-lip-plumped lips. He glares and takes a step backward. I turn back to the cashier, place a non-noodle order, and strut down the counter to pay. Life is just different for girls. Life is more time-consuming. Life is more complicated. Life is overflowing with expectations and obligations that use up our time, energy, and spirit and leave us feeling exhausted, insecure, and alone, and I have had it. I dig through my 10-pound purse for my 2-pound wallet. It's not my fault that my wallet contains 1 credit card and 19 bonus club cards to stores in which I could get a discount if I could ever find the card. Not my fault I have to carry the bonus club cards in my wallet because I didn't get my phone number registered to the accounts. Not my fault that when I try to register my phone number to the accounts, I'm told my username already has a membership associated with it and that I have to enter the password, which I don't remember and didn't write down for fear of identity theft. Not my fault I haven't reset my passwords because that would involve checking my email to get the reset codes. And when I check my email, I have to face the little bold print on the upper right of the screen that says I have 7,038 emails I haven't answered.
That was the title essay from the audiobook 50 Things That Aren't My Fault, narrated by Kathy Geiswhite, courtesy of Penguin Random House Audio. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.